you know what? I like reruns. Something's good is good. Sometimes we need to be reminded of what we already know is true, is still true. I often wonder on my daily Facebook Live thing that I do, it often comes to me that how blessed we are to have the availability of the Word of God. It had been available for over 500 years, but there was a problem. The language it was in, and then there were not enough literate people to read it and comprehend it. Thus, the smart people, supposedly, the clergy, would tell the people what the Bible said. And they could tell them whatever they wanted because the people couldn't read. So when education, literacy became an issue, it was believers that pushed the idea that we should be somewhat educated, be able to read, that kind of thing, and write. I wish our educational system would go back to reading and writing and arithmetic. It's what we really need to know, not someone's social agenda. And then what was really pushed by believers in the United States was for learning, for both boys and girls, excuse me. Problem with this mic here, I can't take it away. And then the United States began to form universities to study the Word of God. And literally every Ivy League school was established to be a place of higher learning of the Bible. If I have some Ivy Leaguers here, tell them to go back to that. Never try and speak with a cough drop in your mouth. It makes it fun. In England, there was a movement to actually teach boys and girls to read instead of sending them off to the mines, to send them to school. And there they learned to read. And the book they first learned to read was the Bible. Can I tell you something? The most valuable thing in your house is your Bible. The most valuable thing on your tablet or on your phone is your Bible. It is not only precious, but it is powerful. I got a little quiz for you today. I quiz my grandchildren on the Bible, see how good a job their parents are doing. Anybody here know the longest chapter in the Bible? What is it? Psalm 119. Do you know what the subject matter of the longest chapter in your Bible is? It's the Word of God. It kind of goes through the alphabet, and it talks about the Word of God at every letter in the alphabet. I'm just going to hit a few high points. And I do have a point to this. In Psalm 119:11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." Why? "That I might not sin against thee." You open your Bible, instead of coming to your pastor and saying, "Do you think it's right for me to do this or that?" You'll say, "I've read it in my Bible. I know what is right and wrong, and I want to do right." The Bible, the Word of God, will help you not sin against Him. The knowledge of the Word of God will help me not to sin. Psalm 119:41 says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." Who can you trust today? Can you trust your bank? Really? Do you know if your bank suddenly gets in trouble and they lose everything, that they don't have to pay you back the money you put in there? You going to put your trust in the bank, are you? You going to put trust in your government? Listen, I could make enough drywall to build a house with the number of political ads I got in my mailbox the last couple of weeks. You going to put your trust in a government that's made up of people? Just saying. Here the psalmist says, but I trust in thy word. It is the rock. It's the anchor. It shall not be moved. Hallelujah. Psalm 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. If it's settled in heaven, it's going to be settled on earth. The earth must submit to the word of God. No, I'm not preaching just yet. I'm just starting, winding it up. Winding up, remember the old mowers? You had a little rope with a knot on the end of it. You went like that and you wound it up there and you prayed to God that it would happen the first couple, because it was a real pain to wind that thing up every time. Then my dad got a mower that had a retractable pull rope on it. And that worked great until we pulled it out. And then we were back. Yeah. But his word is set. It's a settled word. It cannot be changed. Are you here today? God's word cannot be changed. It will not be changed forever and ever. Psalm 119, 133 says this, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. You see, a preacher, you going to trust the preacher, are you? You going to trust a superstar preacher, are you? He's on TV, he's all over the internet. You going to trust him, are you? They fall like flies every week. You put your trust in God and His Word. And because there's a lie. There's a great lie out there today that says you have to live with your sin. You might have a difficult time. It's just part of your journey. You live with it. Why would I want to live with a dirty pig? Why would I want to sleep with a dirty pig? The Word of God says you don't have to let any iniquity have dominion over you any longer. The idea that we just have to get along is nonsense. Because the Word says Jesus has redeemed. We sang it. He's redeemed us by His blood. And no longer shall iniquity have dominion over me. Psalm 138 and verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. : And now look at this. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. He is saying, my word is so great, it's above my name. What God says is so true, it's so powerful, that it's what identifies Him more than His name. Do you know God's Word? Do you know it? I'm asking the real, do you know? I think you can take a lifetime learning God's Word and you will not be done. These people, I read the Bible once. Okay. You didn't get it. If you'd have got it, you wouldn't tell me that you read it once. Jesus put stock in the Word of God. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3. It's after Jesus is baptized in water by John the Baptist, and the Holy Spirit leads him out into the wilderness. Matthew 4:3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God," if, the devil often starts something like that, if your parents really loved you, if the church really loved you, if the pastor really cared about you, but if thou be the Son of God, as if he didn't know it. He's lying. Satan is lying. He knows who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, but he questions it in the lie. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. I have no doubt in my mind that Jesus could have done that, but he didn't. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, comma, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Our living comes out of the mouth of God. Not in how much money we have, not in how many possessions we have. It is the Word of God. We live our lives. We have our being by the Word of God. Well, wouldn't you want to know what that, if that's our being, if that's our makeup, don't you want to know what that is so you can be on solid ground? We've got way too many supposed believers that are still walking in sloppy, muddy places. And it's like it's because you don't know the Word. The so-called church has diminished the value of God's Word. We put lights and music above God's Word. We've put ministry above God's Word. We've put being nice above God's Word. The reason why the pulpit's in the center of the platform is because God's Word is central to everything that we do. I can't help you without God's Word. Now this Word is not dead, but it's alive. I believe every author, 66 books, different authors, but I believe every one of the human authors is alive today. It's not written by dead men. They're alive. So it's a living thing. But in it there is power. To everyone who believes, there is power. Real horsepower. Real power to do things in your life. Real. It's not a religious thing. It's real power. It'll change things in your life if you let it take root. Paul, in addressing this to the church at Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, he describes the armor of the Lord. The shield and the breastplate and the belt and the things that protect your feet and the helmet of salvation that protects the head. All of those things are to thwart the attacks of the enemy. Right? But he gets to verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation, comma, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword lets you fight back and not just take it. The sword says, "I'm not going to just lay down and let you do me. I am going to take control. I've got me the sword of the Spirit of God, and it's the Word of God, and I am going to use it against your lies, devil." The devil looks for your lack of knowledge in the Word of God and he attacks there. If you don't understand that by his stripes we are healed, he'll attack you there. If you wonder if Jesus was really raised from the dead, he'll attack there. He's an expert in magnifying doubts. That's where he wants to go. And he looks for my lack of knowledge. And how does he find out my lack of knowledge? How do I respond to certain situations? Because if you know the Word of God, you are constantly prepared for every situation. All right. So the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is made available to you and I so that we can thwart every attempt of the enemy to scare us, to cause us anxiety, to bring us down, to get us discouraged and dismayed. Because in the Word of God, the Lord God has addressed it all. I'm telling you, He has addressed every situation already. If you don't know that, you don't know His Word well enough. I have to back up a little bit and say, we are the most blessed people on the planet. We have this that is available to us in our own language. If your first language is Spanish, we can get it in Spanish. If your first language is Russian, we can get it in Russian. If your first language is a Mandarin Chinese, we can get it in that language too. We can get it in Canadian even. It just puts A at every end of verse. For you to let this sit on your shelf day after day is a sin. You're not letting the Lord do what He wants. If you are struggling with a sin, get to the Word of God. If you're struggling with a disease, get to the Word of God. For in there is your answer. The Spirit of God has equipped us with a sword. The devil's schemes, first of all, are not new. He has no new tricks. None. Zero. He used all his tricks before the flood of Noah. He laid them all out there. He just repeats them. He just keeps using the same worn out things, and stupid people keep believing his lies. And I'll tell you something. His schemes are really not that powerful. A bunch of witches are sitting around in a seance. And they're humming, hum, hum, humming. And a chair begins to levitate. And everybody goes, ooh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're not having a seance. And I just levitated this chair. It's not that powerful. He's not as big as bad as you. Oh, he is somewhat. But listen, we've got the antidote for everything he has. We've already got the antidote. He makes it believe that he is powerful. And I don't know if this is a true analogy or not, but it might be. I think the devil blows bubbles. I think he blows bubbles. He loves to blow bubbles. The bubbles of physical maladies. We don't know what's going to happen to us. So that causes anxiety. He causes strife in the family to make us not feel at home at home. He causes financial difficulties to scare us to see if we're going to make it or not. But they're all bubbles. They're bubbles of despair and fear and doubt. When you get to my age, you have a thought and then it just leaves. Lawrence Welk. Remember Lawrence Welk? If you don't, you're not missing that much. The generation before mine really appreciated Lawrence Welk. Me, not so much. But they would begin the show with bubbles. Bubbles. Tiny bubbles. And the devil blows bubbles at your life. What people that don't know the Word, who don't are not ready to take the sword of the Spirit out, become weighed down with bubbles. Listen, this is how powerful the devil's bubbles are. You take the sword of the Word of God and you just pop the bubble. And you just pop the bubble. The Word of God pops the bubbles of Satan's schemes. I'm not going to be I belong to Jesus. What, am I going to die? Well, I'll go be with Jesus then. You just scare me with your bubble? You just scare me with a bubble cancer? I got an answer for you. I belong to Jesus, dead or alive. I belong to Him. Listen, you're going to cause strife in my family? I've decided to follow Jesus. Whether anybody comes with me or not, I don't know. But I'm going to follow Jesus. It's all right. We're going to make it. Jesus is promising. You find financial difficulties. You can't make the ends meet. No matter how much you stretch it, you can't make the ends meet. And Jesus said, listen, if I care about the sparrow that falls out of the ground and falls to the ground out of the sky, you're much more important than a sparrow. If you trust me and do what I tell you to do, I will take care of you. If I've got to, I'll multiply the fish and the loaves in your house. I believe it was just before Christmas one year. The coolies had gone from church to church to church. They took on difficult jobs. Jamie's dad and his 100 brothers and sisters. Was it 8 of you? 5 and 3? What was it? 6 and 2. 6 boys to feed. Large coolie boys. And in the course of their ministry, they had given everything out, and their cupboard was bare. I don't know if you've ever been to a bear cupboard. We've been close. When your cupboards are bare and your children are hungry, there's no more stressful situation for parents than that. And they prayed, Lord, we don't have anything. We have no resources to get anything else. We're going to trust you to supply. Well, as you can see, Jamie Cooley did not die of hunger. According to his testimony, a big station wagon. Remember the big station wagons? They had the rear-facing seat in the back. That's the best way to get me to throw up. Put me in that seat. But anyway, this big old station wagon pulls up out front. Guy gets out, shaking his head, and said, Brother Cooley, I don't know. But I was working today, and the Lord said to fill up my car with groceries because you might need them. The boys didn't walk out to the car to get the groceries. They ran. God knows how to take care of His people. Oh, it might be tight, but the Word of God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God does not lie. His Word does not lie. He will not leave you hanging. He will help you if you put to practice His Word. What we have to do is take the sword out. Draw your sword. It's not going to do much for you in the sheath. It might look all right, but you got to draw it out. You say, Pastor, I don't know the Bible that well. Well, draw out the sword that you know. Whatever you know, use the sword to pop the bubbles of the rotten devil who's trying to bring you down, be discouraged and be depressed. Start popping his lies. Your Bible is not an amulet or amulet. It's not a good luck charm. It is not. But if you open it and learn it and hide it in your heart, it becomes a powerful weapon that cannot be resisted. I said it cannot be resisted. As you begin to use the sword of the Spirit, suddenly the bubbles will disappear and you'll be able to breathe again. You'll be happy. You could say, listen, I know the Lord's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Furthermore, if the devil's blowing bubble gum bubbles, he's blowing air out of his mouth. And he's in front of you and say, you're going to die. You're going to come to ruination. You can't ever get over this. It's too big. It's too bad. He's got this big bubble. And you take your sword out, the word of God, and you pop that big bubblegum bubble. The devil ends up with gum all over his own face. And he's the one that looks foolish. Is it that simple? Jesus did it to him in the wilderness. He popped every bubble he tried to put it from. He just kept popping it. We can do it too. It's time that we quit running away from the devil. Stop and stand up to that old slewfoot and say, I've got something for you. The devil, listen to me, the devil knows the word of God so that he can twist it and pervert it. You've got to know the word of God so when he does it, you know that he's doing it. One of the most valuable things in your whole life is this: when you're being lied to, you know it. Don't you hate it when you're being lied to and you don't know it? It usually costs us money. All right, it always costs us money. You ever lived in difficult times? We all have. And if you haven't, well, once you get 7 months old, you'll understand. Sometimes six-month-olds have not lived in difficult times. Once you hit that seventh month and you start getting teeth, it's all downhill from there. The Philistines hated the Israelites. They hated their God. They hated everything about them. They wanted to wipe them off of the map. That was the Philistine method. How they trained their army was to eliminate Israel. And how many battles, you're reading along in the Old Testament, and the Philistines come against Israel, and the Philistines come, and they come, and they come, just to defeat Israel. And most of the time Israel won, sometimes they didn't. So the setting is this. We got David. And the Philistines gathered an army against David. And so David went out against... David took his guys and went out, headed out to battle. But they had been tricked. The Philistines had hidden a whole regiment. They've hidden them. And they waited till the army left. And they began to march on a long city. Starts with a P. They began to march against the city. The only people that were left in the city were women and children. They were going to kill them or use them. And they began to march. And the women and children heard the marching. They went out and the spies looked. And they saw this huge regiment of Philistines, fully loaded with armor, marching against their defenseless city. They evacuated. They were no dummies. They said, I like my house, but I don't like it more than my life. And they got out of town. And they went and hid from the Philistine army. But there was one military officer, I don't know whether he had been sick. I don't know why he was there. Maybe he was held back to just keep control. His name was Eleazar. And so what the Philistines were going to do, it was the time of harvest. And what often enemies would do, they'd do two things. One, burn the harvest, or they would go in and reap the harvest for themselves and then burn the straw. They would destroy the crop so that they wouldn't have anything to go on. It would weaken their enemy in the months going forward. And so their idea was to come and come into the city, take the women and children, do whatever they wanted to do with them, and take the barley crop of Israel. That was their intention. That's why they started a ruckus over here to pull the army over there. All right? And in 2 Samuel chapter 23, we pick this story up. It's talking about the mighty men of David. There's a guy ahead of Eleazar. Eleazar is number two of the three great mighty men of David. In 2 Samuel 23:9, it says, "And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo." He would have to be tough if his dad's name was Dodo. "The Ahoite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. A regiment of the enemy comes. The children, women and children are evacuated. Eleazar is there alone. And he sees the enemy approach. I don't even want to try and figure out the odds. But it says in my Bible in verse 10 that Eleazar arose. He arose. And he took up a position in the barley field because he knew that's where they would come. And he unsheathed his sword. And he said, come and get it. If you want this barley, you're going to have to come through me. And it was like, well, that shouldn't be. I don't even know how this works. I don't know if there was a military honor in that day where you went one-on-one. You would think the army would overwhelm him. But it didn't. The Bible, the Word of God, says he arose and he smote the Philistines. They kept coming at him and he kept swinging his sword. And he kept defeating one Philistine after another. One against many. But he had the sword of the Lord. Let me say it again. It was one against many. But he had the sword of the Lord. When you have this baby in your heart, you have the power of God, the Word of God. You have the power of God that split open the Red Sea, led the children of Israel out of Egypt. You have the power of God that dried up the Jordan River so those same children could cross over into the Promised Land. You have in your hand the power of God to feed thousands of people every day from heaven. In your hand, you have the Word of God that made the sun and moon and it put the earth on its axis. That's what you have when you have the Word of God. You have that in your hand. You have the power. He said, let there be light. The Word of God said that, and there was light. There's nothing outside the power of the Word of God. What He says goes. Let me tell you something about modern prophecy. We've got a lot of supposed prophets out there. Saying this and that. And it's usually to get a good offering. They rarely prophesy after the offering. God needs no help for His Word to come to pass. He just needs you to trust in His Word. People say, well, it would have come true if they did this. Nonsense. If God says it's going to happen. If He says it's going to be like this, that's why I know Jesus is coming back. Because He said He's going to come back. You're going to come back. Not once was He ever wrong. I said, not once. He's not going to start now. This Word of God, this is dynamite. This is dynamite. You can open it anywhere you want and you'll find the power of God to get you through each and every situation that you are in. It's in the Word of God. Stupid little me, my dad just said, I'm just stupid enough to believe the Word of God. I want to be stupid enough. I don't want to be so brainy and intellectual that I think I know more than God. I want to be smart enough to believe God's Word. And the Philistines kept coming. Listen, I don't know what's in your life, but you might have more than one little issue in your life. It might be coming at you from every direction, north, east, west, south. It might be coming at you all. It's not just one thing, it's another thing. What I've learned and still learning is when someone falls ill in your family, it affects everybody. It's not just this person in bed. When someone goes in your family, goes in the hospital, it affects everything. in everybody. People who didn't do dishes now do dishes. Instead of once a day, it's once a week, but they do the dishes. If you have a seriously ill situation in your house, it affects everything about everybody. And if that person who is sick, ill, or injured is the main breadwinner, it affects everything. It affects your finances and just all kinds of things. It affects gas money and all of those kind of things. It affects everything. A lot of things come at you, like the Philistines coming to Eleazar. They just kept coming. And you know what Eleazar did? He just kept swinging. He just kept swinging. Friends, our job is not that hard. Just keep swinging. Know what you have and keep swinging it. He swung it until his hand was weary. You ever been weary in well-doing? Have you ever prayed, oh God, just let this situation be over? It's lingered too long. I'm tired of it. I want out. How can you make this easier? I'm weary in well-doing. I don't know what to do, how to make this happen anymore. And poor Eleazar, he's looking over his shoulder. Nope, not one more Israeli soldier was behind him. Nobody was coming up to help him. Nobody, he didn't hear no trumpet sound. The cavalry was coming. It was just him and his sword. And what the Bible is teaching us is, you and the sword is enough. Amen. He said his hand was weary and his hand clave under the sword. Clave. What an interesting word. To cleave. Clave. He couldn't pry his fingers off the handle of the sword. It was like it was welded to it. You could not separate Eleazar from his sword. And I want to know so much about the Word of God that it cannot be separated from me. That my hand and my heart cleave to the Word of God. And no enemy of mine is going to be able to break my grip. Hallelujah. I've been there before. Way back when in my history, I didn't have a job. In the middle of the winter, I got a job trimming apple trees. They're, you know, in a remissive state. And you do that in the winter, and it's cold where I come from. And so it's 5 degrees out, and you're bundled up, and you're expected to climb a tree and then use these nippers to nip, or a saw. But mostly it was nippers. And I would come home from a cold day, and I would not, my knuckles would not allow me to open my hands because I've been like this all day in the cold. I know what it means for my hands to cleave to a set of nippers. Honey, Eleazar, he clung onto that thing and he says, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to let one lie of the devil control me. I'm not going to let sin control me. I'm not going to let another person control me. I've got the sword of the Lord and I'm going to keep swinging it until I see victory. Jesus in his message to the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, he says to him who overcomes. He's looking for people to grab a hold of his word and hang on to his word. We often hang on to the banker's word. We hang on to the doctor's word or the dentist's word. But what Jesus wants us to do is hang on to his word. Because that's where truth is. Everything else is perceived truth. But the real truth is in the Word of God. And it cannot, I'm telling you, it cannot be changed. It will not be changed. That's why God wrote the law on stone. So it could not be changed. Well, all right. Let's finish up our little reading here. If you're there, 2 Samuel 23:10, you might want to underline that. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. It's what happens when believers get a hold of the sword of the Lord and keep swinging it. Eventually, victory comes. And when he had slayed the enemy in the middle of the barley field, when he had slayed the enemy, suddenly over the hills pop up mamas and their babies. They heard the sound of war no more. And they began to come home. And then the armies of Israel came home. And the only work that was left to do was to take the spoil off the soldiers of the Philistines. God did the work. Eleazar did the swinging, but God did the work. Victory is brought to you and me by cleaving to the Word of God. I don't care if you were born again yesterday and you don't know anything, you start. I have seen a great tragedy of leaving the Word of God out of even our preaching these days. But we have left the Word of God behind thinking we're smarter than that. We're more sophisticated than that. We've got better programs than the Word of God. But victory is not brought by marketing schemes. It's not brought by music. Victory is brought by the Word of God and cleaving to it. Victory is not brought by man's manipulation or even my great effort. It's brought by the Word of God. We as the people of the Lord must have a renewed commitment to His Word. I know, I don't know why people, I was fortunate because I was raised in a family that the first book I learned to read was the Bible too. And I was on, every weekday I was on, I had to read two verses every day. Between 6:30 and 7 a.m., out loud, I had to read two verses. And not like my brother who had this ability to sleep until it was his turn. I had to stay awake the whole time with my finger on that verse so I wouldn't mess up. It instilled in me the importance of God's Word on a daily basis. Not on a weekly. Not just bringing it to... it dismays me. I see thousands of people walking into churches without a Bible. I'm not just talking about electronic Bibles either. They post something up here. I'm not against posting scriptures up on the wall. But listen, you better have it for yourself. Because the camera that's showing that is going to go away. I got to go home. I still got to have something. We've got to go back to the basics and know the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, the devil's going to trip you up. He's going to mock you, and he's going to put together a deceit that you'll fall for. But if your goal is, I want to know the Word of God, because as Jesus said, my life is in the Word of God. Every word that comes out of His mouth, that is my life. So if I don't know how to handle my homosexual grandchild, go to the Word of God. Don't go to a sympathy group. Go to the Word of God. If you don't know what's going on and you have a backslider in your home, go to the Word of God. It will tell you what to do. Dismays me sometimes that the people of this church can't find their way here on Wednesday night, because Wednesday night is almost exclusively we study the Word of God. That's what we do on Wednesday night. You need to be here. It's more important than your stupid program that you're watching on television. Evil people produce that thing. They're sending a message to you. About life. We have become addicted to entertainment rather than the Word of God. We love entertainment more than the Word of God. Don't say amen. We want our imaginations to be tickled. We want everything to... And somehow, this isn't exciting enough. Listen. How do I say this and not get in trouble at the same time? In the 60s and 70s, there used to be things called soap operas. The reason they were called soap operas is because they sold soap in the commercials. And they had commercial placement and all of these things. And if I ask any woman here over the age of 40 to name a soap opera, you could. And I don't care how holy you think or pretend to be. If I say General Hospital, somebody's going to know one of the major players. How about Luke C-Dub? You've proven my point. What was the other one? The Lost and the Restless, or Young and Restless? Karen knows. For some reason, I was always fascinated with the beginning of As the World Turns, and it shows you the globe going around. Yeah. We have them today. They're just on Netflix or on Prime. And we're like, oh, I want to know about these fictional people's lives. It's so very important. Whether Joe's going to marry Linda or not. Or whether this is going to happen. And it's like, but you think this is boring? This has some of the best storylines in the entire world in it. Where are you going to find a story that has a man, a crazy, insane man? It's never rained at his house, but he builds a big boat in dry dock and says he's going to sail it. Where do you get a story like that? It's amazing. How do you get a story? A teenager going against a seasoned warrior. He has all this armor. He's got a slingshot. Where are you going to find the story? And the kid wins. Where else are you going to get the stories that suddenly relate to you? What time is it? Okay, I got to shut up. When you pick your Bible up on your iPad or in your phone or on paper, and you begin to read the Word of God, you need to ask one question of God. How does this apply to me? The beauty of the Word of God is it applies to everybody, and the Spirit in that Word will speak to you and tell you how this applies to your life and how it can make it better. I am done. I just, one of the reasons I do this daily thing, listen, it's not always fun. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes an hour late. But I have found that the people of God don't know the Word of God, and they're getting beat up for their lack of knowledge. They're letting bubbles depress them and hurt them, and they don't know what God has said about it. And so we read a chapter. It's nothing. It's a little bit of... But if you start to read and then study it and ask the Lord, how do you want me to apply this to my life? Read Romans 1 and ask that question. Read Romans 1 and say, Lord, how does this apply to my life? It will answer a lot of questions for you. All right, Tim, come give these people hope. The people of God must have a renewed commitment to His Word. Read and study it. Number two, know it. Know it. I thank God we still do memory verses here. I thank God that I help send my grandchildren to a school that requires them to memorize scriptures. I do have children that can have almost memorized Sonic the movie. And can quote the lines of different movies. And I'm not saying that's necessarily wrong. But listen, if you know that and you don't know the Word of God, you are cheating yourself big time. What's wrong, Mom and Dad? Why don't you learn some memory verses with your kids? They'll get it first. That's okay. I'm so old. Well, it's time to start again. I often thought of this. If every Bible in the English language was wiped off the earth, would I have enough knowledge to t- tell the people about God, whereby they could be saved and live for Him. Do I have enough in here? The third one, read it, study it. Number two, know it. Number three, obey it. Obey it. When in Romans it says, make your lives a living sacrifice, obey it. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Obey it. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Obey it. Do not be unequally yoked with non-believers. We always say that about marriage, and it is absolutely, I have seen some of the most miserable people on earth. It's not a black and white, brown and white, or whatever thing. It's a Jesus or not thing. But being unequally yoked, if I sit there and I'm watching a program that's filled with fornication, they're using God's name in vain, and they're doing bad stuff, I am yoking myself to the world. All right, I'll move off of that. Sorry. I just messed up your evening. Who am I yoking up with anyway? If I'm following the world's ways and the things, I'm yoking up with them. But the Word of God says, be ye not unequally yoked together. Yeah, we're different. Yeah, we're peculiar. But we're good peculiar. Read it, know it, obey it. Whatever situation you're in, God's Word has your answer. And He will speak to you by His Spirit. That's why the more Bible you've got in your heart, the more He can speak to, wherever you are. Sometimes it's like work, opening that Word and having to read it again. Sometimes it's like work, but it is good, good work. And it will pay off. Would you stand together with me? There may be people here that have situations that they need to apply the Word of God to. Maybe you're confused. Maybe you're not sure where to go. The Word of God, the Bible, already has your answer, and the Holy Spirit will customize it to your situation. He will. I have no doubt He will. He's never wrong. I said He's never, never wrong. I'm going to ask the Lord to do help us here, that we might have a renewed commitment to His Word. Father, in Jesus' name, You've been so gracious to us. Men lost their lives in order to make sure that the Word that came together way, way back when in Moses' day, all the way through the history of Israel, through the Gospels, through the disciples of Jesus Christ, we have got the canon of the Bible, the Word of God. And You saw fit that it would not die out, though the enemies of the cross tried to burn every paper they could find of it. And yet You have preserved it for Your people. Lord God, I pray by Your Spirit that You'd put a burden in us to know Your Word. Not to almost know it, but to know it. Read it. Study it. It becomes more important than the games that we play on our phone. It becomes more important than the shows that we watch on YouTube. Lord, it becomes more important than all of these other things. I've got to know the Word of God. It will help me survive and then thrive. It will cause me to overcome. His Word will cause me to overcome. Put that in our hearts, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Lord, if there are people here that have laid the Bible down, the only time they get it is when they come to church. May they pick it back up, dust it off, and start again. Help us to do whatever we need to do, not believe any lie of the devil that says it's not worth it. You can't understand it. Dismiss that bubble in the name of Jesus. That we might be your soldiers when we walk out in this world, who have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, active. And whenever we need it, we can pull it out and pop a bubble of the enemy. Instill that in our hearts, oh God. If there's someone here that has never trusted in your Word, they've never given their lives to you because they don't know the truth, that the truth of God's Word is that Jesus came, was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life, died a vicarious death on the cross of Calvary, rose again the third day, ascended to the right hand of the Father on the 40th day, and sent the Holy Spirit to us that we might be saved today. Speak to them through your Word, that they might come to that in the name of Jesus, that they might be saved from an eternity without God. Instill the backslider, you who've plateaued, and now you think you know everything, but you don't. You know enough that you can just let it slide. Lord, burn within us the desire to know and obey your Word like we've never known it or obeyed it before. And I thank you and I praise you for this now, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you as you go today. Tonight, you're not going to want to miss tonight, 6 o'clock.